الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأمته وبارك وسلم. فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن لكل دين خلقا، وخلق الإسلام الحياة. Last week we introduced the subject of modesty in the context of an earlier series of talks regarding humility, tawadu. And in that context, the Blessed Prophet of Allah said that indeed every religion has an idiosyncrasy, it has a distinctive characteristic, and the distinctive characteristic of Islam is modesty, it is haya. We also continued last week to explain how haya is a word which describes both shyness and a deep sense of modesty, but particularly one that is based on iman, on faith. And as a consequence, haya in Islam influences a Muslim's conduct before Allah, also the way in which we conduct ourselves in front of others, and even when we are alone. Inna Allah Azza wa Jal Halimun Hayyun Satir or Sittir Yuhibbul Haya wa Satir. A hadith we mentioned last week that indeed Allah is forbearing, patient. He is also modest, and He is one who conceals. He is subtle. And He loves modesty and concealment. We also continued talking about how to achieve an Islamically acceptable standard of haya. A Muslim has to begin to see himself through the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this practice engenders a feeling of shame, it engenders a feeling of true haya, of modesty, and also produces extreme caution and vigilance in thoughts and in actions. We also mentioned last week how there are different categories of haya described in the Quran. For example, the haya of Adam alayhi salam, who felt ashamed until he was forgiven for his error of judgment and underestimating the true dictates of love in spite of being chosen by Allah as his khalifa. We also explained how in the Quran Allah describes the haya of the Muslimin for their shame in committing ignoble acts and humiliating themselves before Allah, in spite of knowing that these types of ignoble acts are irreconcilable with having been honored to be created as human beings, the fairest of Allah's creation. The Quran also describes the haya of the malaika, of the angels, for their shame in not giving due worship to Allah as His worship truly requires. In spite of glorifying Him continuously day and night, they still feel ashamed, not doing enough. The Quran also describes the haya of the Salihin for their shame in not being in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as His Majesty demands. In spite of the Salihin never succumbing to their carnal desires and worldly ambitions, they still feel ashamed. The haya of the Mukhlisin, the sincere, for their shame in lacking sufficient sincerity in serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as is His due. In spite of the Mukhlisin never being guilty of ostentation or ulterior motives, they also feel ashamed. The haya of the arifin, those who are Gnostics, who are aware of Allah, for their shame in not knowing Allah as He truly should be, in spite of being blessed with direct knowledge of Allah, they too feel ashamed. The haya, the modesty of the muqarrabin, those intimates brought close to Allah, for their shame in feeling estranged and distant from Allah, in spite of experiencing His infinite nearness. The Quran also describes the haya of the muhibbin, the lovers of Allah, for their shame in feeling disloyal to Allah and not loving Allah as His love requires, in spite of never sharing their love with another. So these are the different elevated forms of haya that the Quran enumerates. We also describe somewhat the basic elementary expressions of haya in the context of the Islamic code of dress, of public engagement, the lowering of the gaze, the avoiding of close physical contact, the wearing of modest clothing, the caution in not drawing unnecessary attention to oneself, ostentation. Also, we talked a bit about perfumes, different types of perfumes, which brings us to today's extension of that discussion on haya. The quality of haya, of modesty, is also closely related to the quality of ضبط النفس, or self-control and forbearance, which is a subject we'll discuss next week, inshallah. Now, this is because a modest person, in the context of self-control, will endure the dignity, the audaciousness, and the foolishness of others when they provoke him. And he will never respond to a wicked deed with another evil deed. And all this is a consequence of his haya, his modesty, his shyness for wanting to debase himself. So self-control, restraint, is another fruit of haya. In a hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the context of a sahabi by the name of Ash'ar bin Asr, that inna fika hullatayn yuhibbuhum Allah azza wa jal. That indeed, O Ash'ar, you have two qualities which are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon which Ash'ar asked, O Prophet of Allah, what are these two qualities that you know of? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded saying that al-hilm wal-haya, forbearance and modesty. So you notice there's modesty, there's haya, but there's also the forbearance, the enduring provocations, the sobriety, the self-control that is a fruit of haya. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam identifies these two in Ashja. And there are many examples even from the life of the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which so many were audaciously rude towards him. They were arrogant, they were wicked to him, but he responded with what? Reciprocation? No. Did he do unto them as was done to him? No. Rather, his haya compelled him to respond with dignity, with patience, with forbearance, and even with kindness. And this was all due to his deep sense of personal haya, a sense of modesty, shyness, not wanting to debase oneself. Therefore, Islam calls Muslims to be humble, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, humility, but also modest, yes, as we're talking about now, and with that, to be forbearing, and to truly beautify our conduct in our engagement with others, even in the face of their provocations. And this is because modesty is the only beauty that truly counts. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that ما كان الفحش في شيء قط إلا شانه وما كان الحياء في شيء قط إلا زانه. That for as long as immodesty is found in a thing, that thing is disfigured, it is made grotesque, it becomes ugly. And for as long as haya, modesty, is found in a thing, it beautifies it. And we know this, you could find the most beautiful woman, but if she is immodest, if she is obnoxious, if she is crude and callous in her behavior, she immediately becomes something quite vile. So modesty enhances the beauty of something. Modesty certainly leads to beauty in one's behavior and conduct. Immodesty leads to the disfiguring of something. Haya, therefore, beautifies a person in the eyes of all, and especially in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In modern society, modesty, shyness, humility, these are strange words. You don't really hear them in the public discourse. You certainly won't hear this in mainstream media. It's something that only Muslims will talk about. And unfortunately, in our modern society, these qualities are frowned upon. They're perceived as weaknesses. If you're modest, if you're shy, if you're humble, somehow people are associated with a lack of self-confidence, some type of inadequacy. In fact, these are qualities, as far as we as Muslims are concerned, these are qualities of dignified, upright human beings, people who are conscious of their actions, people who understand that they have responsibilities in life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they have duties to Allah's creation, to humanity especially. So haya, unlike shyness and embarrassment, in the modern context, does not indicate that a person lacks self-confidence or a person is not brave. Rather, haya, as far as we are concerned, is a positive quality. It stems, in fact, from a strong sense of self-respect, of self worth, of dignity, and especially of taqwa, of God consciousness. Now certainly God consciousness is absent in the modern psyche, and therefore they can't seem to find this link between modesty, God consciousness, and profound sense of self worth in the presence of the divine. In pre-Islamic Arabia also they had a similar attitude towards haya. The pre-Islamic Arabs shunned modesty. They believed that a person should be haughty, that a person should be boastful, that you should project yourself. Like in the modern world, you assert yourself by projecting, by inflating your ego. And the ancient Arabs also had this strange notion of somehow denigrating modesty and valorizing the ego. And they considered modesty a sign of weakness, like we find the modern pagan world also viewing it as a sign of weakness. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then comes to correct us. He teaches us that modesty is a sign of true faith. There's an interesting story from the time of the Prophet An Salim and Ibn Umar. Qala marra an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala rajul yu'atibu akhahu fil haya. So Salim reports that his father says that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once passed by a man who was berating his brother about modesty, saying, "Oh, you shouldn't be modest, you shouldn't be shy. This is a sign of weakness." كَأَنَّهُ يَقُولْ أَضَرَّ بِكَ, that your modesty will harm you. You shouldn't be shy. Rather, you should be in the face of others. Project yourself. Assert yourself. فَقَالَ دَعُهُ, upon which the Prophet of Allah immediately reprimands the brother, saying, "Leave him. Let him be. فَإِنَّ الْحَيَا مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ, because modesty is part of faith. It is part of that taqwa that is expected of a Muslim. There's another saying, and we know this, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in spite of being the most courageous man, modesty in no way implies weakness or cowardice. The Prophet of Allah was the most courageous man, ashja'an nas. But he was at the same time more bashful than a veiled virgin girl in her tent. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد حيان من العذراء في خدرها. The Prophet of Allah was more shy than a virgin in her tent. Now, unlike the pre-Islamic Arabs, the Prophet of Allah was never obscene. He never used bad language, neither in public nor even in his home, in private. He was always a man of modesty. He was a man of great bravery and chivalry, but always a shy man. So the two are not mutually exclusive. And the same was true of his Sahaba. Amongst the Sahaba, the most modest was Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. And we hear this almost every other Friday. Wa astaqum hayaan Uthman. The most distinguishing feature of Sayyidina Uthman was he was the most sincere of them and the most distinguished in his modesty. So amongst the Sahaba, a distinctive feature, a feature by which they were elevated and honored in the sight of Allah and in the sight of men, was haya, modesty. There's an interesting feature of the Sahabi Dihya Kalbi. He was renowned for his extremely handsome face. It said that there's no Sahabi who resembled Jibreel alayhi salam more when Jibreel assumed a human form than Dihya Kalbi. And he was known to be an extremely exquisitely handsome man. And out of haya, out of modesty, Dihya Kalbi would voluntarily wear a niqab, a face veil. So we think the niqab is only for women. But extremely handsome men in the time of the great glorious epoch of Islamic glory would actually veil their faces out of haya, out of modesty. And they would do so whenever they went out in order to avoid attracting the gazes of women, and also in order to avoid making an ostentatious display of their extreme beauty. And this is also because of a heightened sense of haya among the Sahaba. And it was a reflection of their strong iman, their modesty before Allah, and also their modesty before men. So, an interesting point to remember, that the niqab is not just for extremely beautiful women in a traditional, more judicious and sophisticated Muslim society, but also for very handsome men. And this all a sign of iman. So haya is a sign of iman, it's a sign of profound self-respect, it's a sign of dignity, it's a sign of sobriety, not losing yourself in the intoxication of the ego or of the adoration of others. And we all love to be adored by others. Only a person with a darkened heart is actually deprived of this type of dignity that is born of haya. If you don't have it, it means your heart is dark, it's stripped of light. The Blessed Prophet ﷺ said that every religion, as we mentioned earlier, has a distinct characteristic. And the distinctive characteristic of Islam is not its bravery and courage on the battlefield in jihad. It's not its superb system of justice and of equality of all before the sacred law. It's not even its rites, its rituals, its devotional practices. It's actually its haya, its modesty. The Prophet also said the fruit of faith is haya. Haya is the tastiest offering of faith. It is the fruit of iman. And in this context, it's important to remember that Islam has also never imposed artificial coyness, nor allowed for hypocritically saying anything to please people so as to avoid confrontation in the name of modesty. We should never confuse these two. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always certainly a shy man, a modest man, but at the same time was always a brave, courageous man. He was always forthright. He never minced his words. He was always unequivocal in declaring the truth or discussing any matter of importance, albeit always polite. It's narrated from Khuzaima bin Thabit that qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna Allah la yastahi min al-haq. The Prophet of Allah would say, Allah is never embarrassed or too shy to tell the truth or declare the truth. And the Prophet repeated this three times, inna Allah la yastahi min al-haq. And then the Prophet went on to say, la ta'tun nisa min adbarihinna. So do not have intercourse with women through their buttocks. In other words, anal sex is haram. Now you may think, this is something not appropriate to be spoken about on the tongue of a prophet. Certainly not something we should speak about in a public address, a khutbah. Certainly not something that should be talked about in a masjid, the sacred precincts of a masjid, anal sex. But it's a matter of importance, of sexual, propriety and of decency. And therefore, it being an important matter, we can't use shyness as an excuse not to address an important issue. There's another example. جاءت امراة الى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعرضت نفسها عليه فقالت يا رسول الله هل لك فيها حاجة. So a woman comes to the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and offers herself to him, saying, O Prophet of Allah, do you have any need of me? In other words, I'm offering myself in marriage to you. Now we may think this is culturally inappropriate for a woman to make overtures of marriage, to propose to a man. And this was a similar misconception even in the time of the Prophet of Allah. So Anas, being present as well as his daughter, she says, فَقَالَتْ إِبْنَتُهُ مَا أَقَلَّ حَيَاءً. She comments to her father saying, Oh my father, look at this woman, how immodest is she, just coming in public and offering herself to the Prophet of Allah in marriage, proposing to the Prophet of Allah. What do you think the response of Sayyidina Anas is? Can you imagine your daughter going to a man in public and offering, proposing marriage to him? You would smack over the head. This is pandering to social conformity or validating ourselves in the eyes of a public that has its own standards of morality. Certainly not Islam. In Islam, there's certainly modesty, but never a type of modesty that causes you to fall short of upholding duty, the truth. Certainly nikah is a great act of worship and a great institution of Islam. So she says, مَا أَقَلَّ حَيَاءَهَا. How immodest is this woman simply audaciously coming to the Prophet and proposing marriage. فَقَالَ هِيَ خَيْرٌ مِنْكِ. Upon which Anas immediately responds, say, Oh my daughter, no. She is better than you. رَغِبَتْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. Because she desired the Prophet of Allah and in him saw perfection and sought perfection for herself, and it's only the perfect that seek perfection. Look at the way in which they see things, the way in which they view things. Moral perfection in the Prophet of Allah, certainly an aspirant to moral perfection, one who wants moral perfection, one who seeks to be morally perfected, will seek out moral perfection in a partner. هِيَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ. She's better than you. فَعَرَدَتْ نَفْسَهَا عَلِيْهِ. And as a consequence of her excellence, she has offered herself to the Prophet of Allah in marriage. So an important point here is that conforming to contradictory or false social norms of decency is also against Islam. We judge everything by the standard set by the Prophet of Allah. We certainly don't seem to be embarrassed to commit zina. We certainly don't seem to be embarrassed to engage in pornography, flirting, prostitution.
but we seem to be embarrassed when we propose marriage. And that's the strange paradox within our own society. We are immersed in that filth, but when it comes to nikah, even with women, we tend to expect them to not put themselves out there. No, jabbarun fil jahiliyyah, khawwarun fil islam, as Umar was reprimanded by Abu Bakr. A tyrant in jahiliyyah, audacious, wanting to do all that the kafir may do, but when it comes to Islam, we become embarrassed and shy. So, no, in Islam, when it comes to haya, it doesn't in any way mean that we fall short of our duty, that we're not forthright. Yes, polite, but forthright, and upholding all matters of importance in our Islamic teaching. The concepts of satr, of hijab, of nikah, these are all Islamic teachings which are specifically associated with haya. Probably just do one, running out of time. Satr. Satr refers to that part of the body which cannot be exposed in the presence of others. Now, the satr for adult males includes, at the very least, concealing the body from the navel to the knees in the presence of others. So not wearing a shorts whereby the thigh is exposed, especially some of our young men who do a lot of sports seem to be neglecting that. We should be wearing a type of lower garment that covers up to the knee. So that is the satr for the male. That's the minimum requirement. As for females, in public, it's the entire body, except the face, the hands, the feet. The minimum satr for females in the presence of other close Muslim female relatives or friends is also the same for males. So for Muslim women in the presence of other Muslim women, the minimum is navel to knee. Now, think of a sister who shares a bedroom with her sister, or in the presence of a mother, that's the minimum that's required, navel to knee. But in the presence of other non-mahram men, it's the entire body except face, hands and feet. In the presence of male relatives, fathers, brothers, the face is excluded, the head, the upper chest, the arms, the lower leg, so basically it's from neck to knee. These can be referenced in the books of fiqh. That's a good idea. Obviously, the only exception to this rule is one's spouse in marriage. The entire body can be revealed. The satr is the reason many Muslim men and women prefer to be seen and treated by a doctor of the same gender. Now, when it comes to medical necessity, a Muslim can undress in front of a physician of the opposite gender if this is required for treatment. If they know physicians of the same gender, if it's an emergency, and medical emergencies generally, that part of the body that needs to be seen by a physician can be exposed. The Muslim men also shouldn't be using public showers. We tend to use this in schools, in gyms. Why? Because non-Muslim men are exposed, their bodies are exposed, we shouldn't be there. We certainly should not be exposing ourselves in public male showers either. So, haya is expected as much for male as it is for female. Purely as a consequence of biology, the female body is adorned, she has breasts, so more is expected to be concealed. Muslim men, particularly those are very handsome, very well endowed, shouldn't make a display of their body either. I think of the example of Dahya Kalbi I mentioned earlier, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan and the like. As regards hijab, we've talked about hijab in tremendous detail. And this is something I'll probably touch on again next week to conclude the issue of haya, of modesty in Islam. We'll also talk about nikah. Nikah, very important in the context of preserving our sexual purity and also our modesty. Children, in that context as well, what we should or should not do in the presence of children as modest parents. Also, the way in which the natural sense of modesty in children should be preserved. We find the erosion of it at a very young age. So our responsibilities in that context. So inshallah, next week we'll conclude the subject. But most importantly, haya in Islam is not just for women. It's certainly expected of Muslim men as well. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ